podcast is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this date, May 17, 2026. Happy Victoria Day. Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Big Daddy Labrador. Live in the studio, in front of a studio audience. Live in front of a fake studio audience. All right, It's episode 341. Jesus Christ, I'm struggling. Must be all that weed. Yeah, today I'll be talking about I'm feeling like I'm being gaslit by the entire world. But before we do that, we're gonna start out with some quotables and some randomness. And before we move on, I gotta warn you. This episode is rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. M-O-N-E-Y, stay fly. You know, I'm just realizing. You know what I love? What I love in this world? I love listening to music while I'm...
Every day.
Happy Victoria Day. It's, I'm not sure. I mean, I guess we're celebrating Is it all over Canada or just Quebec? I mean, just Ontario. No, it's Canada. Right. So shout out to all my Canadians. Happy Victoria Day. Enjoy your day off. Well, for those of you it applies. And stay high. M-O-N-E-Y, stay fly.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Right. I forgot. Okay. All right. Let's start with quotables. Let's start with quotable. Carlos, man. First one. Once you hit a certain age, you become permanently unimpressed by a lot of shit. Amen, brother. Yeah, that I feel like this. I relate to this one so much. It's like I feel like I've heard it all. It's not true, but you just feel like. I feel like every song is going to be the same. Every joke is going to be the same. Every movie, TV, it's not true, but it's hard to not. I think I don't handle disappointment very well as well as I used to. Next one is, it's a full-time job trying to keep a guy. No, okay, excuse me. It's a full-time job believing in yourself. No days off.
Message.
And the last one for this one, I am going to read off 11 sentences that show you have strong boundaries. Yeah, I feel it connects it to the other one. But anyway, so 11 sentences. First one, no thank you. Full sentence. Two, not today. Three, that does not work for me. Four, I'll pass. Five, I need some time to think. Six, I'm not available for that. Seven, let me get back to you. 8. I can't commit to that right now. 9. I'm not okay with that. 10. That's not a priority for me right now. 11. I'm saying no to that. And I'm going to send a shout out to those of you who grew up feeling guilty whenever you said no. And I believe this will be relevant to... all of us. To all of us, yes. All right. Okay, that's it for quotables. Now let's start with some randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. Okay. M-O-N-E-Y, stay fly. First one is, I can't remember what episode it was, but a while back I talked about how I started this book called Rage of Dragons. And the author's name is Evan Winter. Let me make sure I got that right. Is Evan. Yeah, not Evans. Evan Winter. And I talked about it. Didn't stop talking about it. And then here I am. This is probably the second time I mentioned it. Now, the reason I never mentioned it is because it took a while. It took a while for me to finally get into it. And I refused to disparage, to talk shit about a black author, the work of a black author. Not on this podcast. Right. So at the beginning, it took a while for me to get into it. And I should say, let me just summarize and say that I finished it and I actually enjoyed it. Despite the fact it took me a while to get into it. And two, after I read it, I couldn't explain to you what happened. I know what happens. I just can't put it into words. I'm that student who the teacher would say, hey, read the paragraph and repeat what you repeat what you read, or in your own words, what does it mean? And I'm like drawing a blank. So I ended up listening to other reviews, and being like, oh, okay. This is not the fault of the author. I don't do book reviews. Maybe I should, but I'm looking at others, but yeah, I don't do book reviews. I'm usually a TV watcher. I've only recently got into the world of sci-fi fantasy themed books. So all this shit is new to me. And I do remember the first time reading the book, I had just gotten over Red Rising. So I spent probably the first few chapters being, this ain't Red Rising. What the fuck I'm doing? Why am I reading this? That was one. Two, maybe there was some self-hatred in there. You know, a black author? What, black people can read? Anyway, yeah. I don't know, maybe there was some white supremacy preventing me from enjoying the book. But I can say that I'm going through the book. I remember feeling impatient with the narrator. I spent most of the beginning going, who's that? Who the fuck is that? Where are we? What the fuck happened to homegirl before in chapter? Like, I was just confused at first. I had difficulty following. And I was thinking a lot, at what point did you finally connect with the book? And I think it was finally feeling frustrated with the main character. Because the main character book, the story is about I should read Evans Winter about the book. But the story is about the main character. His name is Tao, and I should mention that I'm doing the audiobook, so that's also helpful. And his name's Tao, and this man is up for revenge. It's about a man who's on a quest for revenge. And this motherfucker is stubborn. And I remember, I think what I finally connected with the character is I was getting annoyed at his stubbornness. I'm like, don't fuck this up, Tao. I remember having these thoughts. Like, it's amazing how I connected with the main character through a negative emotion, frustration. But that's what finally got me hooked. It's like that's what happened, is I connected with the main character. I started caring for him, and I was like, hey, man, you gonna fuck yourself up, man. What? Calm down. And I'm like arguing with him as I'm going through, not in a bad way, but that's when I'm invested in the story. And then finally, I'm starting to understand, okay, like I'm done a chapter, I'm going about my business, and I'm like, I wonder what Tao's up to now. So I open the book back up to see what's going on and whatever, right? Now, I'm going to have to reread reread the book, because there are so many details that I lost. And again, this is very common for me to lose out on so many details and having to redo it again. Look, it might take me a while to understand it at first, but once I do, I'm in. Anyways. I was going to say, I could repeat it like the author. And, it was a great story, but also has, like, there's bars. I think that's another thing. That's another thing I like about books, when they have bars that strike you, creative shit. One of them that sticks to me the most is, I might make it the title of today's episode, is, It's a war cry, and it goes, where we fight, the world burns. A call and response. When I say, when we fight, you respond, where the world burns, the world burns, the world. I thought that was some badass shit, and whatever, man. Oh, I guess I should mention that it's also, I don't like referring to Africa like it's a country. Because the white man fucked us over. But in this particular case, it's based in a fictitious world somewhere in Africa. But it's fictitious in the sense that the fucking dragons involved in this story and whatnot. But I fully enjoyed it. Oh, I guess another thing that I enjoyed about it is how the constant reference to the goddess. They're in a matriarchal society. And and there's constant, like, they keep saying goddess's mercy or goddess wept or, you know, or goddess have mercy. I'm going to integrate that in my own vocabulary to goddess's mercy. Fuck, you're fucking up. Goddess's mercy. You mean God's mercy? Nah, fuck that. I said goddess. You heard me. Calm down. And where we fight, the world burns. Right. All right. I should have prepared this, but let me try to give you a quick synopsis of Rage of Dragons. Dragon. Yeah. Shout out to the author. And it goes, I think I got one. It goes, Rage of Dragon by Evan Winter. He's an African inspired epic fantasy focused on revenge and an endless war. The story follows Tao, a lowly gifted soldier who seeks to become the greatest swordsman to avenge his loved ones, defying the rigid caste system and taking on a violent path that could cost him his soul. Yeah, holy shit. There's demons. There's, it's not just about demons, but there's just like, a lot of people have. The only way I would compare it to Red Rising is how the underdog, the man have come from nothing. And it's like, man, you a peon, and he trains and he becomes a badass swordsman and two swords. They call him two. One person nicknamed him Two Swords. But anyways, all this to say that I'm glad I read it. The only thing I'm scared of is there's a second book. Apparently, there's supposed to be a four-book series. It's supposed to be a four-book series. Two of them are out. The third one is to be determined, is to be announced. And the fourth one, no word about that one. Look, all I'm saying is George R.R. Martin has kind of like broken my heart. He's the reason I don't trust writers. One, I don't trust them to finish their series. Or two, if they finish it, I don't trust them for it to not suck. Did I forget to hit record? Nope. Okay. Yeah. I don't trust them to not suck. Hey, look, man. I've been hurt before. Again, like I said, I don't handle disappointments as good as I used to before. But then again, it doesn't help that I'm always constantly expecting disappointment. But whatever. Anyways, yes, I do recommend the book. And oh, shit. That's right. It was someone at the Virtuous Con workshop, whatever you want to call it, Virtuous Con, who someone mentioned that name, and I'm glad I followed up on it. Yeah, man, dope writing, man. Dope story, dope book. I recommend it.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Yeah, the reason I'm repeating M-O-N-E-Y, Stay Fly, I was listening to A-Z, Stay Fly, and a song is stuck in my head right now, so yeah, deal with it. M-O-N-E-Y, Stay Fly.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. Okay, so this week, so Drake released his, okay. Can I be careful about this? All right, so Drake released an album, Iceman. It's finally out, but he also released two other albums, so a total of three albums. Now, I had no intention of checking him out. Just Drake, this is not going to be a this Drake segment. It was just, I had just had lost interest. And the only thing that was made me curious about the album is all the flack, what everyone else has been saying about him. And, well, look, man, after what happened to him with Kendrick, I'm like, come on, man. Kick in the door, wave in the 4-4. All you heard was Kendrick, don't hit me no more. Like, he's dead. Y'all beating a dead horse, man. Y'all beating a dead rapper. But, yeah, I'm not going to jump on the let's hate Drake, what he's doing. But I am curious about what I'm hearing. And let's be honest, right? When it comes to Drake, everyone is projecting their own shit onto him. Whatever your opinion you have on it, it's your own. It's all based out of your own shit. Because the reality is, okay, we don't know the man. I'm going to speak for myself. I don't know the man personally. And one thing is, I refuse to believe that he's an idiot. I refuse to believe what everyone is saying. Oh, he's corny. Like, either he's intentionally being corny or he doesn't give a fuck. I believe that he's out there. I'm not trying to defend him, but I am. Look, I don't know enough about the man to comment about him. But what I will bring up is, I do believe that, and this is me projecting, that he is the sensitive type. And I'm speaking for myself as someone who's also a sensitive person. I'm not sure if that's what Drake is going through, but the one thing I will say that as a highly sensitive person, the one thing you need to do is come to terms with the fact, accept the fact that you're both a man, a male, and highly sensitive, meaning you are defying what society expects from you. Sensitivity is not supposed to be your trait. And I forgot to read. There's like someone who commented, goes, men will literally drop 3 albums instead of going into therapy. And this is where I'm going with this is I can't explain his behavior. The only thing I can explain is I can relate to allowing my sensitivity, my unchecked sensitivity, to behave in a way that people that I can't justify, can't explain, and that makes people go, what the fuck is up with this guy? I can relate to that. I'm not saying that's what Drake is going through. I'm just saying that if you happen to be a man and the sensitive type, you're doing a disservice by being in denial of it. Again, this ain't for Drake. This is for me. And I, being a highly sensitive person who's also male, one thing, you got to treat it like a superpower, like it's a superpower. Kind of like people with ADHD. Sure, you can beat yourself up for it, you can curse yourself for it, or you can just own up to it and make the best of it, of the situation. So this is what I mean got to treat it like a superpower, in a sense that you got to be mindful of it. So it will happen to me that I'm very, like, I don't know if it's possible to be highly sensitive and not emotionally intelligent. If you're not, then you got to work on you. Then that's something you got to work on it. Then that's something I've had to work on, my emotional intelligence. Like, I needed to be aware when the voices in my head or the emotions are causing the voices to my head to saying, fuck that nigga. Fuck that bitch. And this is what I mean by treat like a superpower. Essentially, if you don't put it in check, if you don't make yourself aware from it, it will cause you to behave in ways that you can't explain. I'm realizing I'm giving a lot of explanation, but that's really the bottom line is, I think I did like Drake at the beginning when he was the sensitive type. He was a sensitive rapper. And I'm wondering if, like, there's not a lot of rappers. They're not rappers who inspire men to be like, yo, this is who I am and this is how I deal with it. Women, on the other hand, they have a track record of, yes, dealing with emotions, working with it, like, you know, I've been told about sensitivity is, no, you're not. You know, it's actually interesting is I had relatives who were aware that I was sensitive, but it was more, well, you're a bitch. You know what I mean? They wouldn't use those words, but essentially is either take advantage of the fact that he's sensitive. It's like you could, you know, guilt. I was so sensitive. It's easy to use guilt to get what you want from me. But it was never, if I had a child and I knew they were highly sensitive, I would read up and how to raise a child who's highly sensitive. But because it's so easy to believe that the world is against you. Yeah, another thing I got to do is know that I can't consume as much. I think I talked about this on previous episode, but I know that I can't consume as much negative content on the internet as much as everyone else is. I got to be careful about that shit, which is, by the way, the reason why I'm reading sci-fi books these days. It's been my escape. It's been my way to, like, not stop being aware of what's going on in the world, but not make it my only thing. Because, shit, man, I will. Look, sci-fi books is the best thing going. It's either that or I get high. I mean, and I mean, not weed. I'm talking, like, the kind of drugs that make you forget. And I make you live in your own filth and not give a fuck. So yeah, anyways, the one thing I will say is, going back to Drake, is his first track, there was a content creator on TikTok, I forget his name, but he brought out how his, I don't know, he had a whole talk about Drake's brand, but he mentioned how the only songs that he liked, and I agree with him, is the one, Make Him Cry. And I feel like it's the one track where he allows himself to be vulnerable. And after that, everything after that is like, I forgot to play this. Yeah, I meant to say that everything I'm hearing about Drake and I don't have it anymore. Yeah, everything I'm hearing about Drake is, it reminds me of that scene in Juice with Bishop and Q calls him crazy for the second time. He goes, you know what? You're right. I am crazy. And you know what else? I don't give a fuck. That's what, based on everything I'm hearing about Drake, like he's dissing everyone. I'm like, this nigga stop giving a fuck. Maybe it's an act or maybe he is like gone crazy. Who knows? Whatever, man. Again, I don't know the man enough to make an intelligent opinion about him.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right, that's it for quotables and randomness. Let's jump into final say. But before we do that, we are going to take a quick break. M-O-N-E-Y, stay fly. All right, we're back. All right, this one I'm going to freestyle this. I'm looking at the time. Well, might be a short episode, but we'll see how this goes, right? We'll see where the spirit takes me. First off, fuck the bitch you claim. West side when we rock, come quick, we great. Yeah, no. First, I want to say that I am so grateful tomorrow's a day off. But I also hate the fact that it's only one day off. I got to be back on Tuesday. But that's another. One thing I love about Victoria Day is the day off. So no complaining for me. All right, second. Yeah, this week, this talk is, this could have been a random, but it just came to me when, at my job, I feel like I'm being gaslit by the entire world. I don't know if the world has always been like that, but I feel like person of the year are gaslighters. And what I mean, this came to me when I was, we had a town hall meeting at work. I'm not going to go into details, but I'm sure you'll figure it out for yourself, especially if you live in Ottawa or in Canada, you'll like it. But anyways, I'm not going to point out my employer's name, but I am going to say that I am working for one of those organizations that after COVID, they were big on, after COVID, they made arrangements so people could work from home. And then after that, they said, okay, all right, yo, this working from home shit works out. Now we want the hybrid model. the hybrid model where you have the options to either work in an office or work at home. Yo, I gotta tell you, man, working from home was probably one of the greatest inventions of my generation. And so recently they decided that first it was reporting in the office 2 days a week, then it was 3 days a week. And I remember them saying, we're going to stick to this model. And then now they're like, fuck that, 4 days a week. And the gaslighting portion is how upper management, our president had a discussion with, we had a town hall meeting and our president was selling us on the idea of why 4 days in the office is good for the organization. And honestly, man, hearing homeboy talk, I'm like, man, bullshit. Like he was, cause again, when you're trying to sell someone on something, the idea is, what's in it for you? I'm just going to be blunt. It's my goddamn podcast. I keep forgetting why I have this podcast. I'm just going to be blunt. Homeboy was just bullshitting us. It was bullshit. The reality is, yes, they can't say that we're bringing you in the office because motherfuckers, we can. Because we can. Period. End period. Stop. And I'm not going to So the rumor is, or the running theory is, the reason why all of us are being, they want us to report to the office is one, public pressure, because some people have equated working from home with not working at all. Public pressure. Two, also public pressure is the businesses downtown have been suffering from people not reporting to the office, which is some bullshit because what are you saying? Part of me working for you is supporting businesses downtown? Well, fuck, throwing a raise, motherfucker. Anyways, but yes, the gaslighting part was how being bullshitted on the reasons why they want the employees to be in the office 4 times a week when working from home or having the option to work from home has fucking worked out just as well. Anyways, I think that's what killed me is him trying to sell us on the idea that it's for your good because we need connections. Though I think the one that really killed me is he used as an example is sometimes you could see an employee going through some hard things and it's cool to say, hey, you look like you're having a bad day. Let's go out for coffee and talk about it. Motherfuck you, we ain't a family. Again, it's my goddamn podcast. I didn't say it's rated R, right? We ain't a fuck. It drives me nuts. The insulting of my intelligence. Now, let me, I did say this topic or the thought was, I felt like the entire week was being gaslit. First, it was racist comedians trying to sell you on the idea that, hey, it was a roast. I'm not being racist. I'm doing a roast. I had comedians trying to sell me on the, white comedians trying to sell me on the idea of their racist joke wasn't racist or it was racist, but you shouldn't interpret it as being racist. And then I have Donald Trump clips talking about how he's doing an amazing job, gas prices are going down, or he's succeeding this, and it's like, honestly, hearing my employer, it felt like my employer was reading from the same books as these people. Oh, don't get me started with Israel. Don't get me started with Israel, holy shit. We're defending ourselves. You're killing kids, you're starving kids. Oh, or even when you say that, hey, Israel is killing kids, and then all of a sudden, it's an anti-Semitic trope, or whatever, you're being anti-Semitic. Because apparently back in the days, there used to be a thing where they were saying that Jewish people were killing kids, or some shit. I don't know, there was a thing in the past where they're making that connection. But again, how much shit could a nigga take? Like, on the list of things that go after a person's mental health, is being gaslit. Being motherfuckers pissing in your face and telling you it's raining. Motherfucker pouring syrup on shit and saying, hey, it's pancake. You're going to love this. And you're like, I grew up as a kid who was constantly told what things aren't. Like, my eyes see the bullshit, but I'm being told, no, don't trust your eyes. I blame my Christian upbringing. Don't trust your, okay, you're too stupid to reach the proper conclusion. Let me, your pastor, tell you how it is or what it is. The worst part is I went along with it. Now, I'm not beating myself up for it, but it's more the idea of I had normalized closing my eyes and saying, well, I guess I'm not seeing, I guess the sky's not blue. Okay, that's not a good example. I guess gravity doesn't exist because a parental figure told me it ain't what it is. I guess white Jesus has got my back, even though I've read a lot about slavery and this motherfucker seems to be doing a lot of preferential treatment. You know what I mean? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's how much could a nigga take? Hold on, let me look up. There's someone who, let me look up quotes about being gaslit. And there's a quote that caught my attention. And this is where I'm trying to focus on. I wasn't going to read it. It goes, Shannon L. Alder. She said, lies don't end relationship. The truth does. But that's not it. That was the one. Which one is the one that got my attention? She said, no, that's not it. Emotional abuse is designed to undermine another sense of self. There he goes. It's deliberate humiliation with the intent to seize control of how others feel about themselves. I think that's the part. Take control of how others feel about themselves. The manipulation game, it's, I don't know. I used to joke about, but I was kind of serious, is I want to vote for the person who straight out tells you, this is how I plan to fuck up the country. Or this is how I might fuck up the country. But I know, but no, politician can't play by that, but because y'all can't handle the truth. You can't handle the truth. Yeah. You know, Colonel Jessup has a point of surrounded by people constantly telling me you can't handle the truth. Look, it just bothers me, man. And it's enough to like make you want to holler. Make you want to holler. I guess, okay, again, on this podcast, I don't offer solutions. I just preach what I practice. And right now, it's just acknowledging the constant gaslighting. Look, shout out to those of you folks navigating this world. Of course, I'm used to being bullshitted. You got to navigate through the bullshit. I'm just saying bullshit stinks. I'm that guy saying, yeah, I know I've got to navigate through it, but I'm acknowledging that it stinks. At some point, that shit could take a toll on a man's mental health. I'm not losing it, or maybe I've lost it already. I'm too far gone, but this is me trying to tell myself I'm not losing it, but Jesus Christ. I'm thinking of a Pac line. He goes, nigga, don't let them make you crazy. Game is what she gave me. Mama told me, don't let them faze me. Nigga, don't let them make you crazy. Game is what she gave me. All right, okay. I'm going to wrap this up before I feel like I've been over-explaining mode. And say, this concludes today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. And if you're my fellow Canadian, hope you enjoy your day off tomorrow. Like I will! And website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. Before I end this show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu. Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé-Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up I also represent a hold it down for black folks who said yes when they heard Big Rube ask,
are you an outcast?
This episode was rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey Land, fuck you too. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace. M-O-N-E-Y. Stay fly. I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black.